Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name football, of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss me in the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Check out our website. If you made it here without finding it, well, again, congratulations somehow. MWCConnection.com. That's where you can find written stuff. And yeah, we have week 6. Jeremy Moss here with Matt Kennerly. 6 conference games. Excellent, right?
Exclusively Mountain West action. I'm excited. It's going to be a really interesting weekend one way or another.
I am so looking forward to Friday night already. It's going to be amazing. So we got, like I said, 6 conference games this week. We're done with that non-conference shenanigans getting into league play, so we kind of know who stands where. But do we need to banter at the beginning, or do we just get into it tonight?
No, let's give the people what they want. They want hard-hitting analysis and bias against all the teams that they hate.
Oh, so you don't want to talk about the vice president debate where the results were sent early?
We can make fun of that. Talk about why Buck Showalter refuses to put Zach Britton into the coin flip game.
Okay, let me tell you this. People got mad at me because I apparently don't care for baseball at all, even playoff baseball,
which is disappointing. But continue.
I just don't care. I'm too busy to watch everything. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I want to watch freaking Manhattan on my DVR, but it's still sitting there in Fargo. So let's get to football. Nobody cares about my TV habits or my hatred of baseball. That's not what I'll say for baseball. I know you're a bigger baseball fan, so I won't go too much because I don't want you to hate me and run away and not do the podcast anymore.
Never. Let's start with that game.
Yes, Boise State at New Mexico with Football Bob. And my favorite player in the Mountain West is Taron Gibson. I don't care what you say. He's my favorite football player in the conference.
Well, I mean, he's exciting to watch because he just rips off so many big plays. Before we get too far into it, we should probably note it's on CBS Sports Network. It's at 6 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. It's going to be a fun one. I think this is probably the game of the weekend, is it not?
Well, it has to be because Boise State has struggled for the most part against New Mexico since they joined the league outside of, I think, first game was a shutout, like 49-0, but every other game but one has been within 2 scores, including last year's victory on the blue turf, which is pretty rare. And I jokingly put out there, would this be a stupid upset pick? And a few people said no. A few people were freaking out. Did you see the Brooklyn 99 gif on there on our Twitter account?
Did anybody tell you to delete your account?
Negative.
So we got that going for us. I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility because, you know, recent history would suggest that this is a matchup that doesn't bode well for the Broncos. But what I would say as kind of to make Boise State fans feel better is, at least to date this year, what this is really is kind of a strength on strength matchup. Because if you look at New Mexico's running game, they're averaging like 6.5 yards per carry, which is one of the best figures in the nation. But on the flip side, you know, to date, the Broncos have only allowed 2.4 yards a carry on the ground. And, you know, while some of that might be skewed a little bit by the teams that they've played so far, like, you know, Oregon State is no great shakes, and Washington State is, you know, definitely a pass first team, things like that. But, like, if you look at some of these more advanced numbers that Bill Connolly throws out there over at Football Study Hall, Boise State's success rate on defense when it comes to running plays is sixth in the country. And New Mexico's offensive success rate running the football is 18th. So you're talking about a front seven versus an offensive line and a running back group that are both very good at what they do, or at least they have been very good at what they do to date in this season. And so, like, same as any other matchup, you know, whoever wins that particular battle is going to be able to tilt the result of the game in their favor.
So what would you say would be more likely to break through, the rushing game or stopping the running game?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say, isn't it? Because, you know, New Mexico's been slowed at times. You know, last week against San Jose State, you know, nobody's going to confuse the Spartans' front seven with being a bunch of world beaters. But, you know, they did manage to find a few stops later in the game. They were able to force some three and outs to be able to claw their way back into it. And, you know, they had some, you know, fits and starts in the Rutgers game as well. So it's not as though it's an infallible running attack.
Well, it's based on getting a huge play. Like, that's the reason they lost Rutgers. You don't have Gibson to go off for a, whatever he may do, a 60-yarder, a 35-yarder, and a 40-yarder all in the first half.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's worth noting that the defensive line for Boise, you know, we had some questions coming in, you know, coming into the year about it. But I think on the whole, they've actually played very well. You know, guys like, you know, Sam McCaskill has really stepped up. He has 4 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, which personally I think is probably the more important figure. But, you know, even the other guys in the front seven, like, you know, Leighton Vander Esch and David Moa right there in the middle of the point of attack, you know, he's at nose tackle and he already has 5.5 tackles for loss. And so I think that, you know, they have guys along that defensive line who have shown an ability to disrupt. So if New Mexico can keep them out of the backfield, I think that gives them an advantage, but I don't know if they're going to be able to, because to be honest, I don't know that they've faced a front seven like Boise State's this year.
I would agree with that. But that defense Boise State had is much better than most people thought, losing who they lost to graduation and NFL. But like you said, they haven't really faced it. Have they really faced a rushing team that's of note at all? Utah State, Miss Mays, like you said, Oregon State, Washington State.
Yeah, I mean, the one big rub that I will also point out is that I think there's only a half dozen teams in the country who have faced fewer rushing attempts than Boise State has through 4 games. One of those coincidentally happens to be Air Force, but you know, they've only faced, you know, 120 attempts in the 4 games that they played so far. And the Lobos might match that, like, or not match that, but they might get half of that throughout the entirety of this game. So they're going to push this Boise State front seven in a way that no other team they've faced so far will. So are they going to be able to hold up? You know, is something that I don't think we've really seen too much of yet. And that's, I think, one of those things that, if they can, then they should have this game in hand pretty easily. But if they can't, that's when it gets really interesting.
This game, like, we joke aside, but I don't know why Boise can't stop this type of offense. Like, it's like there's a stat we're gonna, what is it here? Is it what from Dave Southern from the Idaho Statesman?
Yeah,
against the spread, Boise's 0-7 against New Mexico and Air Force against the spread. However, they've also lost 2 games against each of those teams. Or, well, no, excuse me, 2 or 3, because there was the Air Force game 2 years ago. Yeah, Air Force and New Mexico, they've lost two games, each of those in the last 2 years, one to each season. And so I know it's the offense is unique and you don't prepare for it all the time, but it's I like New Mexico because of what they do. We see it with big plays and everything. I'm just afraid the defense has taken a step back because last year when they won is because they're getting turnovers and there's a missed field goal by Boise State. Jeremy McNichols had a ball bounce off his chest or on a toss, or it was either a short pass or a toss. Like deep in the red zone, if I recall, Boise State had four drives in the red zone, came away with, I think, 3 points, like a missed field goal and a turnover and maybe something else. Yeah. Sorry, the knocking's annoying me here. Let me fix this. But I don't like. I want to say New Mexico could win. New Mexico could win, not because I'm like, oh, I'm out of Boise. I don't care about the Broncos, even though they say we thoroughly enjoy that team, I guess, more than others. But New Mexico's defense gives up 32 points per game. Bob Davey claimed it's poor field position for part of the reason the defense struggles. But we're five games in. You can't blame poor field position on poor defense.
Well, I mean, he may be onto something a little bit, just because if you. You know, that's another one of those things that Bill Connolly tracks. And right now, the defense is having to start drives defending from the opponent's 31-yard line, which at the moment is 101st in the country. So, you know, there's a little bit of an argument to be made there. But at the same time, you know, they've been one of the defenses that has allowed the most explosive plays in the country as well. And I think that that's something that plays really well into Brett Rypien's hands in particular. If good Brett Rypien shows up, like, I don't know that you can necessarily count on, you know, him throwing three interceptions the same way that you did last year. But, you know, to date, one thing that you can point to is that in the first half of games, he's generally been a lot better than he has been in the second half of games. Not to say that he's been bad. But, you know, his completion percentage drops by about 10 points from the first half to the second half. His QB rating drops by about 20, 25 points. So, you know, if he's the kind of quarterback who kind of lets up a little bit coming out of the third, you know, coming into the third quarter, maybe they're up 17, but, you know, he can't make those throws, you know, early in the third quarter and New Mexico gets back into the game and they're down 10, you know. I think they really need him to step up and be kind of the passer that he was in the games that they were winning, you know, dominantly last year. Because if he's just fine, I think that's another one of those things that could let the Lobos hang around a lot more than they want them to.
Good point. Are we being too harsh on Brett Rypien?
I mean, I don't know that we're being too harsh. I think it's worth pointing out that, no, he hasn't been quite as effective as he was last year, all things considered. There's been a little bit of drop off in certain places, and you know, if Boise State really wants to put this game away, he'll play like peak Brett Rypien played last year.
What do they need to do then to get that done? Like him, just I know it's simple to say interceptions, don't throw it away, don't turn the ball over, but I don't think they need him to win because McNichols will get the job done running the ball, but obviously no turnovers or maybe one. I just think compared to last year, I think I would focus more on the defense if Boise's going to win, which I think they should win and probably will, but I think he has three picks all in the one game, but his percentage is only at 58% this year compared to last year's first four games. Let's see. I won't count Idaho State. So his first four games last year, one was Utah State, lost three picks. Almost identical. This is kind of interesting. Looking at his first four starts of last year to this year, mm-hmm. It's almost identical. He had, four interceptions total in those first four games. He had seven touchdowns and was completing about two-thirds of his passes. So that's almost the same. The only difference is his percentage is down. Like his interception to touchdowns first four games to this is nearly identical. One game was bad. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of just an interesting note I just picked up. Last year, just for reference, it was at Virginia, Hawaii, at CSU, at Utah State, where they went 3-1.
I think it'll help if Brett Rypien can keep finding the big plays that he's found against other defenses so far. You know, because he has 20 passes of over 20 yards, and he has 12 passes. You know, 12 of those have gone over 30 yards. So I think that, you know, against a defense that's still – more often than not look shakier than you would like them to. You know, if he can connect with big plays down the field to Spurbeck, Cedric Wilson, Anderson, those kinds of guys, you know, that is, I think, can help them put it away pretty early.
Okay, I can give you one guarantee in this game. That's I'm going to say 100% certainty will happen. Brett Rypien will not happen. Will not throw 74 times.
Probably not.
It was 40 of 70. I forget about that. 40 of 74 last year. So it's time to make our picks because we're taking way too long on this game. History says I want to lead to New Mexico, and they're kind of my team I really like. If I pick a favorite team, this would kind of be it. They're at home. Can people fill up University Stadium? Is that too much to ask Friday night?
Oh, they better. This is the biggest game all season.
They come off win last year. If they want to go to a bowl game, they probably should anyways, but this is a big game. If they want to be serious contenders for the division, they want to win this game. I want to use your revenge factor, but every game's been close. Here's the weird thing. Boise should be prepared like they have in the past couple years since all these games have been so close.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Boise's going to win, but it's going to be like the game 2 years ago where it was all back and forth. And they would have won 2 years ago had Jarrell Presley not got injured and left in that early third quarter. I'm going to say Boise figured it out, and they're going to win, but it's going to be like maybe 40-30, something high scoring where they win by, where they get an extra touchdown and the defense actually holds New Mexico to a field goal and not too many. They'll give up some big plays, but not a ton of those huge 50 or 60 yard games. Plus, Lamar Jordan's QB and they're not going to be throwing as much, so they can focus more on the run play. So that's where I think Boise will make just enough stops to win, but it'll be one of the better games this year, I think.
So you would take New Mexico and their 17 points against the spread.
For sure. Make it 0-8 for Boise State against the spread against two option teams.
I probably would too. But like you, I kind of expect Boise State to come out with a win. I think it'll probably be a little more comfortable. I think it'll probably end up being, you know, 2 scores, 13, 14 points overall. So
you hate New Mexico, you're telling me?
Yeah, I would say like 42-28. Basically.
All right, we should move on. That was long for that done for that game, but we could spend a whole hour on that game if we really wanted to. I think
you're probably right,
but real quick, weather's nice in that game. It's 17.5, over under's only 61. I'm kind of surprised it's that low. I think they'll easily cruise past that.
All right, next,
Air Force at Wyoming. Another this should be a rivalry, but it's not really, just because Wyoming already plays CSU. But 10.5 points favored toward Air Force, road favorites. No chance for any crazy weather out in Laramie. Nice 62 and sunny for this mid-afternoon game. I don't want to say Air Force is sneaky good because they were good last year, won the division. They're undefeated this year. They pretty much dominated Navy, but I think their defense is not getting the respect it really deserves this season.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, they basically took Navy and their biggest strength and basically flipped it on its head. They made Navy throw 30 times last week. And while Wyoming, you would probably expect them to be a little more balanced on the whole, you know, I think after a couple of shaky early performances, Josh Allen has really kind of settled down and played pretty well. I was reading some articles after the Border War game that he made good decisions in spite of the box score overall. That didn't look very pretty. But I think Wyoming's going to have a hard time finding big plays against this defensive backfield. I think that, you know, Tanner Gentry obviously is one of the best wide receivers in the conference, but he's going to have a hard time finding those big plays, I think. And I think Brian Hill is going to run up against a similar kind of problem. This is a Air Force defense that I think I may have mentioned it in our underdogs poll post, but I'll just mention it here. Their linebackers, especially, you know, with regards to Bill Connolly's havoc rate, which basically tackles the number of tackles for loss, the number of sacks, then basically the number of plays that a unit makes behind the line of scrimmage, or actually, excuse me, tackle for loss, forced fumble, defense pass. Air Force's linebackers are number one in the country in havoc rate among all linebacking units. And I think that they're good enough to be able to create problems for this offensive line that Wyoming has.
I think so too, because look at how many times Josh Allen has to, some of it's his doing, some of it's what defense is doing, like in the secondary, but how many times do we see him have to scramble to keep plays alive longer than he's feel comfortable because the pocket collapses on him?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
I was going to say, and that's not withstanding the 7 sacks that he has taken.
Yeah. But also, one thing I'm looking up right now, I guess Roland Lopato is out again for Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
He's not listed on their depth chart. I think it's still the, was it the hamstring, I want to say, that kind of held him out through camp. So they are down to one secondary player, and that could help out well. I mean, if Gentry is lined up in the favorable position, that's something to look forward to or look out for with this game. Because Allen, when he throws, he can get on a roll, but he's just the guy that, if you remember, if we were watching the end of the Nebraska game, was it 4 interceptions in the final quarter when it was still a 2-possession game, essentially, leading into that final frame? If he gets flustered, he might just chuck it and do something.
Yeah, and I mean, that, against this particular secondary, that's not a good idea. And I mean, as far as Brian Hill, I mean, you could make the argument that he'll get his no matter what. But at the same time, you know, Air Force is another one of those defenses that right now has been playing lights out against the run. Do you want to take a stab at how many yards per carry they've allowed so far?
Wyoming?
Air Force.
Yards per carry. Oh, I just saw it, so I kind of know it. Fewer than 2 yards per attempt.
1.8.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, but like Boise, they haven't really been tested on the ground. They actually have faced...
But Navy, come on. Navy, and they shut them down.
Yeah, but Navy barely ran the football is what I'm saying. And, you know, like Boise, it's not like a lot of the other teams that they've played so far are like running champions. Like, you know, Georgia State, again, Utah State was kind of a lopsided victory. But I think that, you know, if you look back at this matchup last year, I'm trying to see what they did, what Brian Hill managed to do. As a team, they only managed 115 yards on 35 carries, which was, you know, about 3.3 yards per carry. So it could be some tough sledding, I think, ahead for Brian Hill, no matter how good he is.
I think he'll be okay, but I think a good comparison could be, if you look at San Diego State, South Alabama, Pumphrey had 150 yards right around there, a touchdown, but he wasn't breaking off any huge plays. Because Brian Hill, like, when you watch the Michigan game instead, mm-hmm. I think he averaged 4 yards per carry, had like 20 for 80. Not great, but his longest yard, I think, if I'm going to check it really quick, I think it was only 10 yards. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that, yes, he'll get yards, he'll knock up people, but he's a guy that'll get, he has longest yards, 8 yards against Eastern Michigan, 22 of 82. For him, that's not very good. He's a guy that he's not like Jarrell Presley that needs a 50-yard run, but he's a guy that it takes 2 or 3 hits to get him down to get, instead of getting a 4-yard gain, he'll get a 10-yard gain or stop the backfield for a 5-yard gain or something. He needs to, that's going to be an issue with this linebacking core. Like you said, they're that good. He's going to get beat up and tired early. He'll still get yards, but it may take him 30 carries to get to 100 yards or something like that if it's close enough where the running game is still needed in balance. But I think he'll be fine, but I think he may have a game more like Eastern Michigan than one of his bigger games.
Yeah, I mean, the thing you could say at least about, you know, Wyoming is that they've been able to find more pass plays, more big pass plays than I think I would have expected coming into the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll just break out this number again. You know, as far as 20-yard pass plays, Allen has 15 so far, which is, you know, about middle of the pack with regards to Mountain West teams. And, you know, Air Force has been challenged, I think, a little bit. They've given up more big plays than you might expect. They've given up 17 plays of 20-plus yards in 4 games. So that is something to keep an eye on, whether there are breakdowns in the secondary, whether Gentry and Jake Malhart could challenge them deep. You know, it might be the kind of thing where they lean a lot on Hill early to try to open up the play action down the field. Because if they can connect on a long play or two, that might be the catalyst for an upset bid.
So you think there's a chance if the passing game gets going with Air Force down one defender in the backfield?
Yeah, I mean, I think even if Air Force keeps, you know, even if they put the clamps on Brian Hill if they commit to the run, I think that Josh Allen is good enough to take chances down the field off of play action.
You're right, because Brian Hill has enough of a threat. Even if he's struggling, they still want to do that. So in Air Force, like, real quick, we need to move along, as you point out to me. Does Wyoming defense have a chance to stop Jacoby Owens, Nate Romine, anything in a rushing game?
That's going to be really tough. I think that they've shown some capability along the line. I think Carl Granderson is having himself quietly a very good year at the defensive end spot. I think the linebackers have played a lot better than a lot of people expected. You know, guys like Lucas Waka, Logan Wilson. But
DJ May.
They're going to get challenged because, you know, Air Force is kind of undersized along the offensive line. So is Wyoming, all things considered. So, you know, they're going to get pushed by this running game one way or another. The other thing you could point out is that, you know, they have a guy like Andrew Wingard who isn't afraid to come up and really play well against the run too. So they might try to challenge the box, but again, that leaves them open to Air Force's
ability. Jalen Robinette.
Shots down the field. So yeah. If Romine connects on those, it could be a long day. If he can't, then that's another thing that might keep this game closer than a lot of people think.
Because that'll be a good matchup, Wingard versus Robinette, if they line up. But also, Wingard had, what do we say, 18 tackles last week?
Yeah, he has 45 tackles on the year. So he's been pretty much everywhere on the field for the Cowboys.
So I'm picking Air Force to win and win outright, because I think they're going to, partly because I want them to be undefeated when they come to the end of the year to possibly play an also undefeated Boise State.
Uh-huh.
I think they'll win just because this is, like I said, this is their best defense in probably nearly a decade. Well, not a decade. Yeah, almost a decade. 6 to 8 years, the best defense they've had. And passing games in full force. Because we saw last week against Navy, running game wasn't spectacular. They just went over the top because it's open. And I don't think Wyoming's good enough to keep up for the whole game for whatever Air Force brings them. I think Wyoming will keep it interesting like they have. But Air Force is probably going to score late and win by 2 or 3 touchdowns.
I kind of like Wyoming to cover the spread, at least. I think that, generally speaking, they've been a lot tougher at home than they've been on the road, which is something to keep an eye on, especially with the running game. They've only allowed 3.3 yards of carry at home. So that's something to keep an eye on. It's 10.5. I would probably take that. But like you, I expect Air Force to win this game probably by about 10.
All right, this will be a good one to watch. It's on Root Sports, so which means if you don't get Root Sports, or let me rephrase this, it's streaming online only if you're out of region. It doesn't matter if you have subscribed to TV or not, cable or pay TV or not. So if you're out in your neck of the woods, mm-hmm. you could probably stream this game, I'm assuming.
I think you're
right. Do you have Root Sports? There's Root Sports Northwest, but that's not technically your area, is it?
I usually watch Root Sports on the Mountain West Network.
Okay, then you're fine then if you can get those games. So if you could stream it out in California, good to go. For me, good old television to watch. So that should be a good one as well. But next game, Hawaii at San Jose State. Yes, that's the correct order. Spartans are a 3-point favorite. We briefly discussed this last week, headed into this week's show. Hawaii at Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I guess Kenny Potter's back, I'm assuming, I guess.
I guess so.
That is what I am told. One thing about this game, really quick, television wise, it's on the mainland, but still on Time Warner Oceanic.
Bummer.
I would like to see how good Hawaii has improved, and I'd like to see who this Drew Brown character is at quarterback.
That would be kind of nice, wouldn't it? And I mean, I think it would be interesting too, because, you know, again, he's not going up against the greatest defense in the world. So while Hawaii has had historically their issues coming to the mainland to play, you know, I think that Nick Rolovich was probably pretty savvy picking last week and this week to make a switch to a new quarterback, because I would want to see basically how he stacks up against this San Jose State secondary. You know, because I think they still have a little bit of a reputation, but they kind of struggled a little bit.
Not anymore. I think that's far gone for me.
You think so?
Well, part of the reason, like even a couple years ago, yes, they have, like we mentioned, B'nai Benwickery with the Carolina Panthers and a few other guys. playing quite well. But part of it is their rush defense is so terrible, their yards per game and is not very is low. And so they have the perception of being a good pass defense when they're not. Right now, they're 215 yards per game. I know it's yards per game. Last year, they were at the top at 157. Part of it was their rush defense is terrible. 2014, they were 117. Yards per attempt, that is kind of where you want to look at. They were tops. Here's where they're good. Like in 2014, they were tops in conference in yards per attempt, and 2015. So they're the past 2 years, they're about five between 5.5 and 6.5 yards per attempt. This year, they are sitting at where'd it go?
They're of course 9.3.
Yeah, 9.3. Sorry, it automatically refreshed. So almost basically every time a ball is thrown in the air, it's a first down.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to point that out if you didn't. Like, there's it's a yes and no kind of question, I think, because yeah, the 9.3 yards per attempt is the worst figure in the conference at the moment. There's
five picks is good, though. That's not too bad.
And that was going to be the other thing I point out.
Sorry. I'm taking everything away from you.
You know what? That's perfectly okay. And I mean, the only teams in the conference that have more interceptions thus far are San Diego State and Wyoming, and one of which is a surprise and one of which isn't.
A little bit. Andrew Wingard's pretty good, so I wouldn't be too much of a surprise.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, this secondary – I think is still pretty good. Like, I think they have a lot of pieces back there that might still be coalescing a little bit. Like Andre Chachere, I think, was shaken up last week, but he has 7 pass breakups. And, you know, there's always an opportunity that he can turn a few more of those into interceptions as the season goes along. Maurice McKnight is, you know, he leads the team in tackles, which probably isn't ideal, but he has a couple of interceptions as well. So I don't think Drew Brown is just going to be able to sit back and, you know, chuck the football all over the place. I think that he's really going to get challenged by these corners and these safeties.
So what do we make about Drew Brown? Because his first game, like, they made the switch, which is, I think, a good move. Even though I like Akeke Woozley, did some, again, I stress some good things. Mm-hmm. He did well, also, but I think it's going to be like St. Justy running the ball, Paul Harris, and maybe even Stephen Lock-a-Lock getting a couple carries. This is a game where you can ease Drew Brown into it, where he doesn't need to throw 25 times.
Yeah.
He may go, I don't know where he'll go. He could probably go 8 of 13 and be fine, because what did he, last week versus Nevada, Nevada's rush defense is also not that great. And we know there's he did get 200 yards. And Drew Brown was 15 of 18. Brown can run himself. He had 7 for 31. So he's a guy who can make his name for himself on the ground a little bit. But I think it'll be a heavy dose of Hawaii running the ball as much as they can, especially if Dice May St. Juste does well. Is that correct? Is St. Juste or St. Juste? I
thought it was St. Juste, but continue.
I'm hoping it's St. Juste. I was on with Bobby Curran this morning. I'm like, yeah, St. Juste had 200 yards. So he didn't correct me, so hopefully that's correct. So I guess that's right. St. Juste there. Like I said, Lock-a-Lock, a handful of carries, Drew Brown, Paul Harris. That's where they'll do it, and then if they do beat him down the field, it'll be going to Marcus Kemp, who is probably one of the more underrated players in the conference because he plays out in Hawaii. You can't watch their games at the moment, and Hawaii's not that great. But this is a very, very winnable game for Hawaii, and I think this is going to be my stupid upset pick. I'm going for Hawaii for the outright victory in this game.
Wow, okay. So
you with me?
Let me lay out the counter-argument, because I am not with you.
Kenny Potter's pretty good.
Kenny Potter is pretty good. And I still have questions about this, you know, the Hawaii secondary's ability to create turnovers. Because if you go back and look at that havoc rate again for defensive backs, you know, they're currently rank 105th in the country. And, you know, no one on the team has more than one interception. No one on the team has more than 2 pass breakups. And so I think that Kenny Potter, if he's healthy, you know, this is a young wide receiver crew that is, I think, starting to come together, because Trey Hartley, he's still averaging almost 20 yards a catch. And Justin Holmes has really come on strong in the last couple of weeks. He's averaging almost 23 yards a catch. And Tim Crawley has been kind of a really reliable receiver. I think that we may have expected Tyler Winston to be coming into the season, but, you know, he's averaging 13 yards a catch himself. And so they have a trio of receivers they're going to have to deal with, and I don't know if they're going to be able to contain them consistently. The other thing I would point out is that I'm still not certain whether Hawaii's defensive line is any good because they got kind of ripped to shreds against Arizona, for instance, right? And the Spartans' running game has been kind of hit or miss, but if both those guys are there and they're productive, Deontay Cooper and Zamor Ziegler, I think, you know, if they can lean on those two guys and get, like, you know, 150, 175 yards out of the two of them, you know, it could be a really long afternoon if they can be a balanced offense, which they haven't always been. And I think that that is really kind of the rub against the Spartans team. But against this defensive line, I expect them to be balanced and I expect them to win this game pretty comfortably.
Ooh, I think that's how they will win the game. If they get Ziegler, Deontay Cooper to actually not run for fewer than 20 yards in a game like last week. I don't know. I just, maybe I like the momentum with Hawaii. They beat Nevada, who I think, well, I don't know, New Mexico, they lost San Jose State. I think New Mexico is better than Nevada, but whose secondary do you trust more, Nevada, or excuse me, New Mexico or Hawaii for versus Kenny Potter?
Oh, man.
Just saying.
honestly, I would probably trust New Mexico's secondary a little bit more.
Okay.
And I would definitely trust San Jose State's secondary more than that.
Oh, yeah. My pick, the reason I'm going to Hawaii, because the running game, I think, will just, it's Samuel Spartans. Last year, they fooled us a little bit, but I think Hawaii, they have enough guys who can run the ball, and Brown will need to throw just enough and get to Marcus Kemp, but that's why I'm going with Hawaii, just because the running game against that poor rush defense of San Jose.
I like San Jose State to win by at least two touchdowns.
Man, that's a big swing there.
I think it will be a big win.
All right, well, we'll ponder that for a moment, and we'll take a quick break, and I'll go grab a drink or something because that's some hot takes there. So we'll be back. All right, next game. That was terrible. Next game. I don't care. We'll keep this in. Next game. Fresno. Is it really Fresno at Nevada? Is that next game on the list? Game number five or four?
It is on ESPN3. It is a 4 o'clock Pacific time, 5 o'clock Mountain. I don't know what to think about this game.
Nevada's a 9.5 point home favorite. They'll start with that. Start with the basics.
And remember, they just lost by 3 touchdowns at Hawaii.
And it was actually not even that close. It was actually 38-3 at some point.
Yeah. So
good luck, Bulldogs.
I mean, we could shorten this and just move on to the next game really quickly. I could just say, I fully expect this to be kind of a repeat of a lot of the weeks before. But I won't say that because that's kind of a disservice, I think, to everybody. What I think is going to be really interesting in this game is the fact that, kind of like Hawaii last week, like we just talked about with Drew Brown, there may not be a worse defensive line that Chase and Virgil is going to run up against than Nevada's defensive line right now. Because they've only...
But Fresno doesn't have any running backs.
They have exactly one running back, thank you. But, I mean, what's if they're ever going to break out of the kind of offensive misery that they've been in more often than not this year, it's got to be this week. Because Nevada is dead last in the conference in sacks. They only have 3 sacks in 5 games. And I'm trying to look up their, you know, tackle for loss number right now. They're dead last in tackles for loss too. They only have 20 in 5 games. And so, like, I've kind of railed off and on about the Fresno State offensive line being more or less bad throughout the entirety of the season. And they have been, like, by a lot of metrics, you know, Dontell James has run the football more than a lot of running backs, and he's been worse at doing it. But I don't know that that's on him, because I'm a firm believer that that's on the offensive line. You know, Chase and Virgil has taken, you know, 15 sacks this year, but I'm still more convinced that that's on the offensive line.
Let me ask you this really quick, because I'm reading something on the Fresno Bee, and man, Tim Drewer likes to be the, if you want to coach, if he's a politician, he'd be a good one, because he doesn't give an answer to he gives non-answers quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Is Justin Rice going to actually play this week?
I mean, it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. You got to do something.
Yeah, reading through, like, because he broke his foot day one of fall camp.
He did.
And he actually put him into live drills to whenever this was the other day with the ones and twos. And they said he looked well. And there's so many injuries going on with everybody, like, well, various injuries they have, but there's too many to mention. Code word, I don't know them all, but but I'm wondering, like, he sounds encouraging, like he actually might, the plan was to redshirt, he might actually play. And like you said, you don't want to burn a redshirt just because, and they're almost halfway through the season, but they couldn't talk to him, but players around him who did speak to the media were pleased, and so was the running back's coach, who liked what he did. So if they need depth and you don't want to risk injury, I would rather him play now. Then, oh crap, I need him game 10 because somebody else pulled up lame middle of a game.
Yeah, and I mean, it's more so than that, though. I think Chase and Virgil just has to have a complete 60 minutes. Because we've seen flashes, like the first half of the Nebraska game, and kind of, we've seen that he can be explosive. Like, did you realize Fresno State has more 10-yard pass plays than any other team in the conference so far?
Did they all come in the Tulsa game?
But I mean,
that is surprising. No, that's encouraging.
Like, they've been more explosive than you might think, and I mean, you saw that in the Vegas game last week, where Aaron Peck had that 80-yard catch and run. So he's got receivers who can make plays, and he's got an arm to be able to get him to him. He just hasn't done it consistently, and. You know, I think,
is it just because he's a young guy? Is that possibly the reason?
I think that's part of the reason. I think some of it is just not having enough time to throw more often than not. But they've shown an ability to be explosive. They just haven't shown an ability to be consistent. And if he's ever going to show any kind of consistency where he can get to 60% completions, it's got to be this week, basically. That's what it comes down to.
So let's go to the Nevada side, because we're spending a lot of time on Fresno here. Okay. Like I said, they lost last week to Hawaii. Sorry, not sorry. But Fresno State's defense is not very special or not very good. Is that kind enough?
Fresno State's defense has more or less been the same as it has been for the last year and a half, where they've had moments where they can hold up, but late in games, they've just basically collapsed.
So, like, Nevada, it's weird. Nevada's an interesting team because they have, maybe it's just me. You can tell me if it's just me, but I think they have a lot of talent on offense. They just don't know what to do with it. Or one part is good. Baller has a big game. Great. Stewart has a big game, but the running game is terrible. Receivers are getting open, like the Cal Poly game, where Hashawn Henderson is now backup, or Jericho Richardson don't have a good game. It seems like they can never put it together for one complete game for the most part.
I mean, I think you're right. Like, Nevada is kind of a weird team because, you know, they've shown an ability to move the chains. Like, they're one of only two teams in the conference so far to have completed more than half of their third down conversions. So they've shown that they can move the chains, and I think a lot of that is a credit to James Butler. I'll mention this in my Fresno State versus Nevada preview later this week, but, like, he has, I think, 12 first downs on 14 third down carries. So they've shown an ability to move the chains. You know, they feed Butler and it's almost an automatic first down. What they haven't been able to do is finish drives. And if you look at what they've done, you know, points per trip inside the 40, you know, they've only averaged 4 points per, which is 108th in the country. Lucky for them, you know, when it comes to Fresno State on defense,
they're the opposite.
They are the exact opposite. They've allowed nearly 6 points per trip inside the 40, and that's 122nd in the country. So, you know, this is kind of the flip side to the whole thing. Like, if Tyler Stewart and James Butler and company are ever going to finish drives, this is the week that it's going to happen.
Also, I want to know a fun stat. Well, maybe not fun, but I think it's kind of fun. I went a little bit closer. I went to red zone conversion.
Mm-hmm.
This is opponent red zone conversion. Do you know what Fresno's percentage is when a team gets in the red zone, when they get scored upon?
Oh, it's probably something like 90% or something absurd like that.
100%. 16 touchdowns to 3 field goals. 19 trips allowed 19 scores.
Yeah, that doesn't get the job done.
Nevada's not much better. They're sitting at a nice 19 for 21. So if Fresno can get close, they have a good chance to score.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing is too is that, you know, Nevada has been kind of lacking as far as explosive plays. Like at the moment, I'm trying to relook up their long passing plays, and they're, you know, at the moment they're eighth in the conference in 10 yard pass plays, you know, but they only have 10 pass plays of 20 yards, which is 10th in the conference. And against this secondary, which has suddenly looked very shaky in the last couple of weeks, you know, if they can get a big pass play to Andrew Celis, if they can get a big pass play to Wyatt Demps, that could be kind of the thing that really breaks the dam wide open for them.
So what's your pick here?
I mean, Fresno State hasn't given me any reason to pick them. So I like Nevada, and I like them to win big, honestly. I like them by about 3 touchdowns.
Ooh, that's a lot. I think Nevada would win because I trust they're more of a known quantity. Like I said, they have a lot of good players on their team offensively. And couple that with Fresno down another running back once again, they could bring in the true freshman. But what's he really going to do after a broken foot 8 weeks ago to actually play well? Nevada will, I think I'm on the same track with you. A couple touchdown victory. I have to ask this, is Drewder going to make it back from Reno?
Yeah, I mean,
or he get Lane Kiffin'd.
I don't think anybody wants him to come back from if they lose, but yes, probably will be on the sideline for homecoming next Saturday.
Oh man, I apologize. It's not easy.
I accept your apology.
Good. All right, next game, Utah State at Colorado State. Is Colorado State going to go to a bowl game this year?
I said that they would, and I still think that they might.
I'm still sticking with no bowl game, as I said, preseason. For the guy who in our, what was it, somebody put in our comments about saying these team, the quarterbacks, like we said, like in a podcast last week, oh, Drew Brown played well, Colin Hill, Dalton Snead. Yes, they did play well, mister. I don't care who they're playing. The plays in front of you, and they played well. And Colin Hill, like, I think Terrence and Connor, all the guys, and Joshua, who does our Rams stuff for us, would say he played well, and then there's no reason to make a switch. Like, don't go all Fresno State on this team. Sorry, but you get the analogy. We don't need a quarterback scenario.
No, I mean, I think all things considered, he has been pretty good. Like, they asked a lot of him last week against Wyoming, trying to catch up. And, you know, all things considered, he's been pretty good as far as taking care of the football. Like, he's only thrown 2 interceptions in 104 pass attempts. You know, he's taken 8 sacks, which probably isn't great, but he's really kind of learning on the fly. And if the running game can, you know, show up in a way that they didn't last week, I think that in the long run, he'll be fine. And if they can show up, you know, if they can get Dalen Dawkins and Izzy Matthews into a rhythm, I think that bodes well for him.
But can they? That's the thing. Last week, the running offense was terrible.
Yeah, and that's really kind of the big question, because I think Utah State, all things considered, has been pretty good stopping the run so far.
Yeah, Utah State's defense, and better than we knew they'd be pretty good. They'd be okay, but losing all the guys who graduated NFL, their defense, it's like with Boise State, their defense is, we knew we'd given the benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm. and are proving us correct that, yeah, the defense is going to be fine. They're sitting at number 2 yards per game, which, whatever, it's an okay stat. Yards per play, pretty good, 5 yards per play given up. Rushing wise, like you said, I like Izzy Matthews and Dawkins, but last week they failed to show up. And that's an issue they have. And Utah State's rush defense is, actually, the whole Mountain West rush defense is actually pretty good. Aggies are middle of the pack at 3.5 yards per carry attempt against.
Well, I mean, as a Fresno State fan, I would kill for 3.7 yards per carry right now.
What?
And I mean, I think a lot of that is a credit to the fact that, you know, we talked a lot coming into the season about having to replace all of the linebackers that they lost. And to their credit, the linebackers that have come in to the starting lineup have played very well, I think. Like Anthony Williams, who leads the team in tackles so far, he has 3 tackles for loss. You know, Brock Carman next to him has, you know, 2.5 tackles for loss. Alex Huerta has 2. Derek Larson has 2.5. And even the guys behind him in the secondary have played very well as run defenders, I think. You know, Devin Centers has 3 tackles for loss. Mm-hmm. You know, Dallin Levitt has been very good as a run defender. And even Jontrell Roquemore has shown an ability to stop the run every now and then.
Well, just real quick on Levitt, he is... Oh, he could play this week. Sorry. I know he's injured, but he's going to be back this game.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really been kind of a team effort stopping the run. And so I think this is another one of those instances where it's really kind of strength on strength. You know, the running backs for Colorado State are going to be game. And if they can average, you know, 4.5 yards per carry, I think they can call that a win. Whether that's going to be enough, I think depends entirely on Colin Hill.
It does. And this secondary for Utah State, like after with guys like DJ Larson and a few others going off to the NFL, mm-hmm. like you said, Levitt, Dallin Levitt back there. He's having listed as a starter this week. Could be because of injury concern, but he's a good guy. Devin Centers is doing pretty good. Daniel Gray, they have some good. Jalen Davis, I meant to say. They're a good secondary, and Rams don't have an explosive wide receiver. And Colin Hill, like, he played well, but this is probably his best defense he'll face. Oh, you're better than Minnesota. And he didn't play against Colorado and the other game, whatever, Northern Colorado, who cares, FCS team. But I think he will struggle in this game. If the running game doesn't get going, Utah State should run away and win easily. But if the running game does get going, which will still be questionable if it does, that's how they'll stay in the game, where Utah State and Matt Wells will have to play balanced defensive football. And not game plan against, certain throwing down situation. We're going to play our defense to pick that apart or play for the turnover by rushing two guys. Or they know they're going to run on first and second down or whatever the situation would be. They'll basically force Colorado State into an error if the running game doesn't get going. But if it does, then that obviously, it helps any team. I know this is basic stuff, but with the Rams' rush offense not being good last week, if they can get that going and be consistent enough, that'll help Colin Hill quite a bit, being a freshman QB playing a very good defense in Utah State. And as for the other side real quick, Utah State, I'm looking at the depth chart now. Devontae Mays, he was supposed to play with Arkansas State, did not. He's listed as the starter. If Utah State's going to win, they have to have a rushing attack through something, because last week they were just awful.
Yeah, I mean, if Devontae Mays doesn't show up because of his injury, is Tawny Lindsey going to show up? Because I think, to me, that is the one big question, because this isn't a situation where you want to put everything in Kent Myers' hands. You know, if you go back and look at, like, rushing success rate in particular, and just to remind people what that means, it's 50% of the yards you need on first down, 70% on second down, 100% on either third or fourth down. Right now, Utah State running the football in those situations, 115th in the country.
Jeez.
And I think a lot of that, rightly or wrongly, falls on Lindsey's shoulders, because he's really just kind of disappeared when they need him more often than not.
He had one decent game, but that's it.
Yeah. And I mean, and the linebackers for Colorado State are good enough to, you know, make life miserable for Myers if he is forced to drop back and throw it 50 times again.
You would think that, but Marty English, people want him gone as well. Like, he mentioned one game, and we missed 20 tackles.
Well, I mean, I think a lot more of that has to do with the defensive line, which has been a little bit subpar, than the linebackers. Like, if you look at the linebacker numbers, you know, Kevin Davis has 6.5 tackles for loss. Josh Watson has 6 tackles for loss. You know, Trey Thomas has 4.5. So the linebackers have been very good. But, you know, the defensive line has been pushed around a little bit. And I think that, you know, line against line, kind of weakness against weakness, maybe to date, you know, whoever wins that matchup could hold, you know, the winning hand in this game.
Could be. And if you're Utah State and you get to that second level right away, then that's, what, 4 yards a carry or something, if you're able to do that, to get past the defensive front.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so who are you taking this game? Because it's a Aggies are a 6-point road favorite. Who are you taking outright?
I like Colorado State. So
really?
I would lay the points, or I would
take... I am perplexed by that answer.
I mean, I like Colorado enough to see him make plays against his pass defense, and I like Colorado State's front seven, especially their linebackers, to hold up against Utah State's running game, basically. So I would take that 6 points, and I would like them to win outright.
No, I'm taking Aggies to win by more than that, to cover that 6 points. We're differing quite a bit, and a big margin as well. Hey, make some more fun. We're not agreeing every game, right?
Yeah. I mean, we have biases this week.
Yeah, every bias is all over the map. All right, final game of the week. San Diego State hosting UNLV. Aztecs are a nice 14-point favorite. ESPNU, the lone late game tonight, or that night, Saturday. It's 7:30 for you for on the Pacific Coast there out in Qualcomm, which will have about, even if it's half full, it's still an empty stadium. Sorry, you playing the queue, but that's the case. playing, sorry. I was yawning or burping at the same time. Like, ugh, the queue out in Qualcomm, but... Do you know what I should? We should look this up. But do you recall what San Diego State did the week after last year's South Alabama loss?
I could probably look that up if you want to talk for a minute.
I think it was a home game, but this, like, here's what I want to look for in this game. Aztecs should win. I'm going to pick them to win. We'll get that out of the way at the top. But I want to see what Dalton Snead does in this game, starting his second consecutive game against a much better defense than what he played last week when he had when they beat up on Fresno State.
Yeah, to answer your question real quick, they lost against Penn State the following week.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. So I was going to look for something clever there, but no. you never know. I'm always trying to find something interesting with that on the fly, but I think I can agree with you, or you'll agree with me, Aztecs win big.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think we're going to see if Dalton Snead is for real, like for once. And I say,
well, he lost another wideout. Darren Woods is actually out officially for the year.
That does not help either, especially for a young quarterback who's coming into not the greatest situation. Like, he still has Devontae Boyd, which is nice. But if you look at the depth chart, they have Mekhi Stevenson listed in the top of the depth chart twice at wide receiver.
How's that going to work?
I mean, they have two freshmen behind him, you know, Alan Cui III and Elijah Trostclair. So, again, this wide receiver crew is getting even younger now. And, you know, we're going to see how well this offensive line for UNLV holds up against a pass rush that's going to be very motivated, because they weren't as good as you would have expected them to be against the Jaguars last week.
Agreed. I mentioned, like, when I was talking, I was on the Hawaii show this morning earlier today, and he's like, after we're talking about playing San Diego State, I think South Alabama had a good formula. I don't think UNLV can replicate that, because we're kind of bouncing back and forth. Like, what team has the combination? I think Nevada has the best combo, but like I said earlier, they haven't put it together. Mm-hmm. Because if you watch the South Alabama, they went 3-4 wide, and for some reason, the 4-2-5 or 3-3-5 combination wasn't working for Rocky Long's defense. If UNLV had a few more receivers, I could say maybe they can make it interesting and then force pump like on offense or excuse me on offense, spread it out, and the defense just kind of let Pumphrey beat you, but don't let the receivers are so terrible for San Diego State. Sorry, I'm using that word. They're not very good. Don't let Pumphrey. It's basically the Brian Hill thing. Pumphrey will get his yards, just don't let him beat you big. UNLV doesn't have that combination to do all those things, especially offensively. Lexington Thomas is a pretty good back, but they don't have, like you said, they listed two guys at one spot at wide receiver. They probably can't. Could they even run a play four wide?
If they wanted to run it with like a running back and three receivers, sure.
I'm just saying, like, that's kind of what South Alabama did, but UNLV doesn't have that. So Aztecs will probably be focused on the run. And then look for a lot of blitzing coming in, because give Rocky Long a freshman QB or first-time starter QB, he's going to eat you alive.
Yeah, and I think the only way they stay in this game, the Rebels, that is kind of the same plan that they used against Fresno State last week, because they ran the ball 54 times, which was a season high for them. And, you know, they aren't likely to average 6.7 yards a carry again like they did against the Bulldogs. But if they can move the chains at least fairly consistently, maybe at like a 40% clip, you know, they'll give themselves a chance to succeed, I think, because it's not just Lexington Thomas. You know, they have another guy, Charles Williams, who showed that he could play last week as well.
And Snead can run a bit.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, if they can maintain at least their season average, which is right around 40% on third downs, kind of move the chains and try to hit a couple of those big running plays, which against this Aztecs defense is no easy feat, that is the kind of thing that can help them hang around, but I don't see it as terribly likely.
So what do you think the outcome is going to be? What would you, I assume Aztecs, right? Big?
Yeah. I mean, what's the spread on this one?
14.5.
I would probably lay those points and take San Diego State to win by about 3 touchdowns.
This is one of the weeks where if my wife wasn't working overnight and I had my kids, I would make a quick drive to do something on this game. One of these games, multiple games.
Nice.
Pretty confident in a couple of these games, but unfortunately I cannot do that. Plus I have to work middle of the day Saturday for a little bit, but I'm that confident. So if you like my picks, don't tell me you lost or hate me if you wanted to actually put a wager on it. But I think Aztecs are going to be pissed. Pump, they'll have a big game. I think this could be like a 40-20 game or something like that. 42-28, 42-17 game where UNLV is just overmatched and because they're not there yet.
Yeah.
They have some pieces that look nice, but again, you lost to Idaho. You beat Fresno State. You had that not lucky run by Snead, but a pretty good run there too. Beneficial, I will say, for him to make those moves. But they're just not there quite yet. And Aztecs want to win the division, and they'll still win it by 2 games. It's just, sorry, Rebels, you're facing a team that's upset and angry.
There's always next Saturday.
Until then, yeah. So that's the game we have this week. Before we go, we need to, I told you we wouldn't mention this, but when we're recording this, it's International Taco Day.
Oh, yes.
And Taco Tuesday. So how does that work out for you?
Well, I love Taco Tuesdays, especially as my hometown team every Tuesday, minor league baseball, mind you.
Isn't that the single affiliate of the Houston Astros?
It is the AAA affiliate of the Houston
AAA. Astros. Oh. So I should pay attention to that team a little bit.
Maybe. But they were the tacos every Tuesday, and they are known around here for the Taco Truck Throwdown, which goes down annually. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that. But
there's a few things that Twitter feed.
Yes,
a few mentions of where to go.
Some of our intrepid followers on at Mountain West or at MWC Connection did give us some taco truck recommendations or taco stand recommendations around the Mountain West. So if you're interested, I would encourage you guys to check that out.
Okay, I'm asking you this: do you make your own tacos ever? Or I'll be liberal and say also like burritos because that's not the same, but it's close enough, right?
I mean, there's a lot of good tacos and burritos places around here.
I mean, like, what do you personally cook, that type of stuff?
I do not, because I am a bad cook.
Oh, you are? Oh, I'm sorry. I actually had burritos tonight. I'm like, oh, I got stuff left over from last night. Oh, no. Dude, it's simple. You know what you do? Like, I'm not the most creative at it. I will just put in black beans, some Spanish rice, some taco mix. I'll make my own guacamole sometimes, which is pretty easy, but just mix it all in there. Put some ground beef. That's very simple. Go that route.
Yeah. Never a terrible idea.
Yeah. All right, but that's all I got for tonight. I'm making you hungry, apparently, so we'll get going here. Yeah. You can just say that we need to go because you're hungry. You can interrupt.
I'm going to go eat dinner, and I suggest everybody go out and eat tacos as well.
Yes, even breakfast tacos. Go for those too, I guess. Breakfast burritos are my favorite. I can get those any time of the day, but that's our show for tonight. We had a new review on Stitcher, so we appreciate that. A 5-star and a positive comment, so you can leave reviews at Stitcher, iTunes. You can comment on SoundCloud or favorite, Blog Talk Radio, leave a comment or whatever. But that's our show, and we'll see you guys next time. And again, as always, we're biased against CSU.